Kumlen Rablak Gemara, we're up to the Ayin Dal Rambam Aleph, about 6 lines from the top. We're starting to go through the different malachas of Shabbos. So now we're up to the malacha of Boirer, selecting. Says the Gemara, Tan Rabban, we learned, Hayu lefanav mine eichlin, if you had in front of you different kinds of food. Now, Machlek is a shame how to read over here. Is it just Hayu lefanav mine eichlin, you had food and you had food and you have waste next to it, which is like eichel and psalis, or we're talking about two kinds of food, which Rabbeinu Chananel's greatest, and we learn from there in Halacha and Shulchan Aruch brought down that even if you have two kinds of food, if you want to eat only this food and you don't want to eat the other food, the food that you're rejecting or that you don't want to eat now, even though you want to eat later, is considered for the moment psalis. And therefore the laws of Boirer of selecting come into place. And as we begin to learn, the idea is if you do it the normal way of eating, then it's all right. If you do it like you're preparing for something, which is a malacha or a veda, that is called boider. And generally speaking, if you have more, I'm jumping to the conclusion, but this is how the Rishonim explained. Generally speaking, if you have more food, good, eichel, than psalus, the easiest thing is to remove the psalus so you can eat the eichel, instead of pulling away all the eichel, a lot of eichel there. So you just take away the psalus, and then you eat the eichel. Take the bones out first, and then you eat it, because a lot less bones than the fish, than the actual fish. But based on that, the summer showing will hold that if you have a lot of psalus and a little of oichel, then it's the other way around. You're not allowed to take the oichel from the psalus, because that's the avoida, because since that's less, that's the easier work. That's what you would do if you're preparing. So there, in that case, you have to remove the psalus. Others disagree. Okay, says the Gemara, the Braise is very cryptic. It says you can't select and eat. You can select and put it aside for guests or others. That's number one. Then it says, you shouldn't. Then now it says you shouldn't select. That's number two. And it's questionable whether V'im is number three or just a continuation. V'im bider. And if you did do it, chayiv chatas. It could be either three clauses here or just two. As we'll see. My comment, what in the world is the Braise saying? You should, you shouldn't, you couldn't, you're not allowed to. Amarulus Ulus. We're going to have a number of different interpretations. Some of them we're going to adopt according to Allah. Ulus says, Hachikama, this is how you read it. Boyer v'oichel l'boy b'yoin. You're allowed to be boyer if you plan to eat it on Shabbos. U'boyer v'meniach l'boy b'yoin. You're allowed to be boyer, take away the psalus if you plan to give it to guests for that day. That's eating. U'lamachar, if you're doing it for tomorrow, lo yivr, then you shouldn't be selecting, taking one from another, because we eat bitter, and right now there's no difference, good from bad, bad from good, make no distinction. We eat bitter, chayiv chatas. If you did it, you chayiv chatas, because that's called a malacha. If you did it for Sunday, it's a malacha. If you did it for Shabbos, it's all right. He said, he's going to ask, where else do you find a precedent that a malacha on Shabbos, if you do it for that day, cooking for you, can you eat it that day? It's mutter, and then cook it for the next day. It's also no such thing. Is it a malacha or is it not a malacha? So Maskel, a question, if you're baking or cooking for the Shabbos itself, you're allowed to. And if you're cooking for Shabbos itself, is that all right? What's the difference if it's for today or tomorrow? It's a malacha, it's a malacha. Elamar b'chizda. Boirer v'oichel pachas m'kashir. You're allowed to select if you're doing it less than the shear. Remember, we learned that the shear for most shear on Shabbos is gregris. So if you're doing a smaller quantity of that, you're allowed to select. You're allowed to select and give it to your guests less than the shear. But ukashir lo yivra. But if it's a full shear, you shouldn't, because if you beat it, chayiv chatas. Maskel Rabbi Yosef, so you can ask a question. So other malachas on Shabbos, you permitted to do half a shear. Are you permitted to do less than half a shear? Are you permitted to cook on Shabbos if it's less than the size of a gregus? Unheard of. And why not? So Rashi says, because chatz shear also min ha-Torah. Famous Rashi here, the fine Dal and Ralev, because the Chacham Tzvi has a whole discussion. The Chacham, that it's only to do with eating, could we learn it after Yom Kippur there, Gemara Yuma, Kikol Oichol Chelev over there, that you know, in the smallest amount, so that Chatzah Shir only has to do with eating, because you could be Mitzarefet, and not by other things. And here Rashi clearly says it's Chatzah Shir in Hilchos Shabbos. Then the famous question is, if there is Chatzah Shir in Hilchos Shabbos, how come you're allowed to carry two Amos, for example? The dinner, you're allowed to carry four Amos, but two you're allowed to, but two is half a Shir. Why are you allowed to? And then, for example, if one guy does the Akira on Shabbos, he did only half the Malacha, you're putter, and so on. And even Mutter if he didn't do the other half, but Chatzah Shir. So that the Me'idi lays down the famous rule: there's a difference between chatzishir and chatzimalacha. Chatzishir means you ate the treif, you just didn't eat the full amount. You baked on Shabbos, you didn't cook the full amount. Here, you didn't. What's lacking is not the amount. What's lacking is the malacha itself. The criterion malacha is to carry 4 amos. You only carry 2. Others say, but by 4 amos or 2 amos, the reason why there's no chatzishir is because you didn't do the malacha at all. The malacha is taking it out of your place. Remember, I told you yesterday, the Ran says that you have 4 amos in Shushar Abim, that's yours. So as long as it's still sitting in that 4 amos, only moved 2 amos or 3 amos, it never left. So the malacha didn't start. It's not that you did half malacha, you did nothing. That's how they want to explain it. Anyway, Elam Rabbi Shavish gives an answer. He starts making a distinction. Boider, and this is brought down halacha, boider v'oichel b'yad. You're allowed to use your hand, and a fork is considered an extension of your hand. You're allowed to use your hand to select, separate. Boider u'minir b'yad. Still, we don't know the difference in good and bad. Bad and good makes no difference at this point. You're allowed to select if you want to feed someone straight away. But b'knoin v'tamchu, but then you have these implements or these dishes that are not specifically made for sorting, but you have like a funnel or something where you put in, they used to put in beans or something, and it used to, you know, very wide opening, and it used to come through to the bottom, which is much narrower. And then because of that, some of the shells would remain behind. But that's not specifically made for it. Well, tamku is a large plate. It's not specifically made for that purpose. So therefore, it's only asur midrabbanan. Lo yivra. So there's 3 clauses, actually. The second one says, lo yivra is only midrabbanan. I mean, bir patar lasa. But the third clause would say, if you did it, yechayv chatas, is talking about enough for a kivra. If you use a sieve, a dedicated implement for sorting, that is chayv chatas. Lo yivra, in bir chayv chatas. That's Rabbi Yosef. And we're going to take part of what he said regarding the distinction between the yad, the kanein, and the nafah. And the kavoda, maskev ravanun and midi kinetam kuktani. Where does it say in the braisa anything about what kind of dishes are using, what kind of implements are using, tools are using? Alam ravanun. This is what he says, and this is also adopted halacha. Boided ve'oichel. So he introduces now what you're sorting from. You're allowed to choose oichel metechab seilas, because that's not preparing, that's eating. That's a normal way of eating. Boided umaniach ve'oichel metechab seilas. He's allowed to also put it for people, taking the good for the bad. But psoilis metech oichel lo yivla. There's only 2 clauses there. And the second part where it says you shouldn't take, and if you do chayv chatas, this is one case, which is don't take the bad from the good. This does not only apply to food, it applies to anything. Sidurim, chamashim, and ashul, how you do, how you choose, or you close in the drawer. Maskev lo abaya, abaya has a question. The same question that you asked, does it mention anywhere, does it raise the kind of influence using tools? I'll ask you, where does it talk about a different oichel, psoil, psoil, a maskev abaya, mide oichel, metech, psoil, tani? Does it say, the first part says you're allowed to, you're telling me you're talking about oichel, psoil, the second part says you're not allowed to, you're talking about psoil, metech, oichel. It doesn't jump, according to you, it's varying, right? One part is talking about one thing, one part is talking about another thing, so it should have said something. Elo abaya. So therefore, abaya comes along and says, no. It's all talking about oichel metech psoilus. We're talking about the same case throughout the entire braisa, taking food from the good from the bad. And yet, even then, there's different instances. Boider v'oichel alta. You can do it if you do it straight away. And Rabbi Chanan says alta means pretty much for the what's the normal time to prepare for the meal that you're about to eat. And that's where all the shailas come in about preparing, doing boider before you go to shul. And then you want to daven, then you'll come back to eat. If you're allowed to do that, if you're not allowed to. And ubaidir umanirchla alta, if you want to provide your guests straight away, you know, is the normal time it takes to prepare for a meal. You can even do before the meal, the dessert as well, because that's all usually you prepare the entire meal before you start. Then the next clause is ubay biyayim lo yivre, don't do it for that day. And it's not a third clause, but it continues. V'im bitter, even if you took good from bad, if you're preparing for the second meal of Shabbos by day, for Shal Shudas, for example, so that's really preparing. That's a malacha. Nase kebayir loik. It's just no different than you're preparing it to put in your warehouse. V'chayiv chatas, and yachayiv chatas. So we're going to, in halacha, we combine all of them. That in order, the 3 criteria in order to be able to do bayir, you have to use only your yad or your fork and spoon, whatever that's part of your hand. Only if it's la'alta, if you're doing it pretty much for the meal that's coming straight away, and oichel metech psoilus. Amru, and there's a machlekes regarding fish, if you're allowed to take the bones out of the fish as you're eating it before you put it in your mouth, because that's the normal way of eating. Amru Rabban, Kamed Rav, Rabban said before Rav, Amaluhu, he said, Shapir Amanachmeni. I don't know, the last few days, yesterday we had a Bayin Rav we're sitting together, we're arguing, and now he, Rava even supports Abaye. Shaper Amar Nachmeni, he called Abaye Nachmeni. And Gudra is called him, but he's, and Abaye's name actually was Nachmeni, but because he was raised in Rabba's house as teacher, and Rabba's father was called Nachmeni, so therefore they had to give him a different name. They couldn't call him Nachmeni because Rabba wouldn't be able to call him because it's his father's name. Okay, Shaper Amar Nachmeni, it's right what he said. Then he says, "Hoyulafan of shnei mini ochlin." If you had in front of you two kinds of food, if you had in front of you two kinds of food, again, the machlekes whether you say shnei or just mini ochlin. Ubidet va'ochel b'miniach, and he selected to eat, and he selected to put away for his friends. Is Rav Ashi masni potter? Rav Ashi says that's potter, which sounds like you're not allowed to do it. The Rabbanon, but it's potter from the Torah. And Rabbi Yehuda Difter master chayiv. Rabbi Difter says you're chayiv. Do better, you're chayiv. So that's the question. Is the lechayder Rav Ashi masni potter? Behotani chayiv. It said right now we're thinking that you're doing it better, like taking the bad for the good. Aren't you chayiv? Or if it's if it's talking about the good from the bad, then that's not potter, then it's mutter. So what's going on here? So we learned before, chayiv, loikash, it's not a problem. We're talking about good from bad, yet. This, before we said that good from bad is also talking about using this dedicated tools for it, or utensils for it. And when I say that potter, mahatayda, but it's awesome, I'm talking about a kenoin v'tamchu, which are not dedicated for it, but anyway, you're doing using an implement, or a utensil to do the sorting. Adimus came from Eretz Yisrael, and he said there was a story. Shabbat, they used to distribute every Shabbat. Somebody else used to take care of all the students, and this Shabbat was Rabbi's turn to take care of all the students. The iklu, Rab Ami, Rab Asi, Rab Ami, Rab Asi happened to be there, and he wanted to serve them nicely. So what he did was, instead of giving them the fruits and taking off the leaves, whatever it is, you know, it was already detached, but just, you know, cutting it off, making it look pretty and all nice. Shodde kamayu, he threw before them, chalkolo de peri, a basket full of fruit. And what happened was, when he threw it on the table, so they landed, the stems or those pieces that really were not part of the apple fell off. He didn't want to stand there and prepare it and pull off each piece. He threw it on the table and it happened by itself. So the Gemara, we don't know. Imishum, is it because the Sovereign holds Oichel Matrip says also, maybe he's machma that even food from Oichel from Tzeilus and by hand and even for straight away is also awesome. The Rabban, you shouldn't be doing it. So he didn't want to stand there and clean the fruits up and remove all those stems and the leaves. Is that why or no? He agrees, I think we said till now, but Imishum Ayn Yafu de Mechaven. He wanted to, you know, a basket full of fruits looks a lot more generous than just putting that one or two fruits in front of them, and that's why he did it. Is says Gemara further talking about Boyer Chizki Amma, and we said before you're allowed to take only Oichel from Psoilus. That's why the Alter Rebbe said the Paskin shouldn't eat nuts on Shabbos. Any nuts that has, you have to crack the shells, because when you crack the shells, you can also end up doing Boyer, because then you stand there and you push away the shells to be able to eat the actual nut. And the suffix is a chattis. So he says here, Chizki says, "Haboyde turmoisim terpsoilus." It's a kind of a legume that it takes a very long time to cook, and in fact, we'll soon see they had to cook it seven times, again and again and again. So he says over here, if you select by turmoisim, if you take the food, the edible part from the shell, chayiv. Sounds like even the good from the bad. Any kind of separation is chayiv. Lema kasava chizki oichem terpsoilus. Does Chizki seem to hold that you can't even take the good from the bad? And therefore, in the story of Chizki, in the story of Rabibi before, he tossed it on the table so it should break by itself, because you're not allowed to even take good from bad. Is that what he's saying? Saying, well, no. The shiny turmaisim is different. Why is it different? The shokile shiva zimni. You have to cook it seven times. And what happens is, if you cook it seven times, the food becomes very, very soft. And if you let the food remain, you don't take it out straight away, the food itself now becomes inedible. And what happens is that the food becomes psilis. As long as you don't take the food out, the food itself is psilis. So what you're, so therefore, what do you call it? And that's why you cannot even take the food out of the shell in this case, because the food, you're taking psilis. You're taking psilis out of the food, and that is forbidden. So the shokla, she was even seven times. The eloi shokla, if you don't take it out straight away, misna, the food part of it becomes foul. So the food itself is considered psoilus until you take it out. So it's as if you're taking psoilus. So it's as if you're taking, if you put your hand in to take the part that you can eat, right now it's psoilus. So it's as if you're taking psoilus out of eichel. Actually, Rashi gives a few other pshatim, and he says there that the psoilus part of it is actually a little bit edible. So the eichel is the shell around it. That's considered eichel, and the food is considered psoilus in this case. Everything's relative. That teichin grinding, amra papa said a papa, haiman de porim silke, if somebody cuts apart in small pieces a beetroot, chayim mishum teichin, chayim because of grinding. In other words, that there's grinding even by food because you're cutting it in small pieces. And taste is held only by a beetroot, but not any other kind of food. The Rosh has over here that Rashi is totally wrong. There's no such thing as tchina when it comes to food, because where does the Torah say what size food you should have? And then, but in halacha, we're machmir, you're not allowed to cut food, you're not allowed to dice onions extremely small. Anything where you cut extremely small is called teichin. You shouldn't do that. But we do have a rule, ein teichin achat teichin. So for example, bread, you're allowed to crush it in tiny little pieces, because bread already, you had to crush the and grind the wheat in the first instance. And as a rule, ein teichin achat teichin. Omer Abinashe says, Abinashe, hi man, the soli silsa. If somebody breaks up a piece of wood into very small pieces in order to burn better, chayim mishum teichin. Apart from everything else, mooks and all that, you chayim because of teichin, small pieces. Omer Abinashe, e kopid amish chosef. In addition to grinding small pieces, you also make sure that you have a certain measure, then you chayim mishum chatech. Then also, you could remember you learned yesterday in the Mishnah, one of the malachas are if you're cutting the hide, to be a certain measure to become a shoe or to become a tablecloth, so that's mechatech, and that will be over a few malachas, as we'll talk about a few examples how you do one activity can be over a number of malachas. Says the Gemara, before we get to that, well, if it says the Mishnah baking, Omer HaPapa HaShavak, Tanu Rabbi Yishai, some money, now the Mishkan L'Chayda, we're learning everything from the Mishkan. And activities in the Mishkan, they did cooking, they did spices. So why talk about baking? We're not going to talk about baking. We have baking so inside the Mishkan. Says the Gemara, Tana didon sidura de pasnokat. Our Tana is talking about all the steps that you need to do to make bread. Since we're starting with wheat and crushing and all that, and winnowing and all that, which is with wheat, so therefore we continued with the normal stages, which is concluding with bread. But it's the same principle. If somebody throws in a wet piece of wood, a wet peg, into an oven to dry up, so it should stiffen, the din is chayim mishum avashel. You chayim for cooking. You chayim for cooking because you soften it up even further. Pshita, of course you chayim for cooking. I would have thought the purpose here is not to soften up the wood further. Your purpose is just to harden it, so maybe it's not really cooking. And cooking means changing the state of something. This goes in stages. First it softens up, and then it hardens. So therefore, until it hardens, you're chayy for mevashel, because through the heat of a fire. And what happens is the water that's inside is sort of exuded, because it's a very, very wet stick exuded, and only after all the water escapes, only then does it become hard. So till then, it softens up. Amar Abaruna, Haiman, the art of Kufra, somebody heats up tar, Chayiv, Mishum Avashal. Yechayiv again, because it melts, Yechayiv, because the cooking pshita, of course Yechayiv. Now they would thought, Kivin Hodev, Yekushe, after the fire goes away, what happens to the tar? It just goes right back to its original state and hardens. That's not called cooking. Cooking is when you change something permanently. Here, you didn't change permanently. As soon as you stop, it goes right back to its original state. Kamash alone. And it's the same thing. Same thing with water. You boil it up, and then after you leave it alone, it goes right back to its original state. Kamash alone, that's called cooking. Because right now, you made a shinui. And you'll have, that's a normal way of cooking. Let's go further. If somebody makes a barrel out of clay, you actually committed seven sins. What are the seven sins? First of all, you take the dirt, clumps of dirt, and you grind it. So you do teichen. And then you make it very, very small pieces, that's teichen. And then you take out the pebbles from there, so that's boiler. And then you put it through a sieve, which is merakit. And then you go ahead and you knead the cement, which is losh, kneading. And then you smoothen it out, which is called the machik. In fact, yesterday I told you that some people argue with Rashi what mefarik is. According to Rabbeinu Tam, mefarik is actually memachik. Like when you're taking the milk out of an udder of an animal, you're flattening out the udder. So every time you're being mefarik, you're flattening out whatever the original, where it comes from. That's memachik, smoothing out. And then you light a fire, which is mavir, and then it's cooking in there. So that's mevashel. So that's seven. And the tanur, why aren't you also chayiv for digging a hole? Because we learned already yesterday that digging a hole, according to Rabbi Shimon, if you don't want the hole, you just want the sand, is melachah shezil gofer. And then we said, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who would hold that you're chayiv, you're potter because you ruined the ground if it's in your house. But tanur, if you're creating a clay, not a barrel, but a clay oven, then there's one more aveda, chayiv mishum shmoin nechatois. One more aveda. What is that one more aveda? That additional aveda? Because after they finish, they put cement all around it to make it harder. And so therefore, that's Gemara Malach, so that's Makab Patish. Now, what about the Chavis? Every time Malach, you do Malach, any Malach should always be Chayif and Makab Patish, because you completed it. No. When you do a Malach, and that's the end, and it completes by itself, that's not Makab Patish. Makab Patish is, after you finish Malach, you do one more activity, proactively, to finish the job, that's called Makab Patish. Somebody makes a cylinder out of reeds. Chayiv achas esech hatoyis. You're actually chayiv 11. Why? First of all, you have to cut the reeds, and since you're cutting reeds, we learned yesterday, then, and you need the reeds, you're chayiv for two things, because it's like pruning grows better. The rest, whatever is still left, grows better. Plus, you need the wood, so that's koitzer. And so you're doing noiteya, and you're doing koitzer, and then you gather them together as ma'amer. And then you take out only the good ones, that's boiler. And then you smooth it out, that's memachik. And then you cut it up into small pieces, then that's teichen. And then you cut it to a certain measurement, we said before, it's mechatech. And then you put a string across from, you know, from one end to the other, you pull it taut, tautly, that's what we said before yesterday, is mesich. And then you weave one, you know, the reeds one into another, that's called oirig. And then you make over there, you know, those two boxes of stitches, so that's batanidin. And then to make it smooth, is finally you bang it there to make it smooth, that's called makab patish. So, you know, if you pull off any threads that are still hanging there on the shirt and you pull it off, that's considered makab patish. And v'chaita lepumei. And if you decide to make a rim around it as well, so you have to then weave and then tie, then chayiv shalosh esech chatas. And chayiv 13 chatois. Then Rashi asks the question, why don't we also count over here the malach of boina? You just built something. So here's the big machlek is Rashi and many of the Rishayim. Rashi holds, ain't binyan b'kelim, which actually we're going to have more later. There's no binyan boina when it comes to something portable, like kelim. However, Tosis and many of the Rishayim argue, they say no. When do you say there's no binyan b'kelim? And if you dismantle, let's say, a menorah, you take it apart and you put it back together, ain't binyan b'kelim. But if you're starting from scratch and building a brand new keli, they argue that's considered boina as well. Says about it further, if you're cutting off a wool or you're making it white, if you're spinning a wool that's on top of the behemoth while still attached to the behemoth, you commit three avedas. And what are they? Achaz mishum goizes. One of them is you're cutting, you're shearing. Achaz mishum anapid, because you bang it to clean it out. Achaz mishum tovah, because you're spinning it. If Kan Omar ain't derek ziz b'kach, he says no. While it's still attached to the animal, any malach on Shabbat, if you don't do it the normal way, you're not chayiv matayda. So this is not the normal way. You have of shearing. You first spin it and then you shear it. Ain't derek manapid b'kach, that's not the normal way to do it while it's attached to the animal. Nor ain't derek tovah b'kach, it's not the normal way of spinning. We learn clearly that's how they did it by the Mishkan. So what do you mean that it's not the normal way? Says the Gemara, almost we see tviya gav behema shmo tviya, that even spinning it was an animal is called spinning. Says the Gemara, chachma you say to shiny. That was a tremendous skill, because the Torah over there says lucholish mechachma's life. I mean, to know how to do that while it's still attached to an animal is a tremendous skill. The average person cannot do that, so it's not normal for them. It's kalachayad. So you're not chayiv mehateda. Tanabam we learned, and even those who have the skill, we say, but the night is a kaladim, like the Shoyim say. Tanabam we learned, a toilish is a konov. If somebody, let's say you have a feather, and from a bird, and you pull it off, pluck it off, a hakoitmai, and then you cut off the end, you want to put it into a pillow or into your blanket, and you do know, the hamortai, and then you pull off the hairs on the bottom, and you want to throw the hairs inside a pillow, chayiv, sholosh, chatois. Your chayiv, three different chatois. What are they? Says Rabbi Shimon Malkish. Toilish chayim mishum geizes. You're cutting. Koitim chayim mishum chater, because you're deliberately cutting off the ends, the pointy parts. When you put in your pillow, it doesn't stick at you. And the maret, when you pull the hairs off of the bottom and you want to use the hairs, chayim mishum machayik, because you're smoothing out the actual stick of the stem of the feather. Hakoish, if you make a knot from matay and tie, shi the mishkan echave, everything has to be done in the mishkan. Where do you find tying in the mishkan? The tent they used to tie it down into the pegs in the ground, and therefore there was tying. Says the Gemara, who koishim las lahatru, that is not called tying. They tied it because remember they had to, every time they traveled they dismantled the mishkan. So any knot that you do that's not a permanent basis is not considered a knot. And we'll see later here in the discussion, because here's clear from his Gemara here, it seems clearly that even though for the rest of this Shabbos you intended there should be a knot, but if you intend eventually to open it up, it's not considered a permanent knot, because they never traveled starting on Shabbos. And yet, so even they travel will be tomorrow, and yet we call that Keshav and Aslahater. We'll see later. Elam Abaz Abayish, again, Orge Yiriya is those who was weaving these curtains, Shanifzikul Lehen, Nima, let's say one of the feathers, broke in middle, Keshav, they make a knot. So they made knots. Okay, you explained where you find tying, knotting. Remember, where you find untying. Let's say you had two leftover strings. So they would tie them together. Let's say they would find a few extra strings. So one they would untie and one they would tie. Because you don't want to tie two together, then it becomes a lump and you can tell. For an ordinary person, it doesn't look so pleasant. You wouldn't do it. They would do that, to have one knot here and one loose string. Those who would capture the thing called chalazin. Chalazin was where they got that blue dye. So the nets they would tie and then they would untie. Now, there's a big the Rashi himself in many places says different things what the chalazin is, but here's the Rashi where Rashi says that it the kamin Rashi at the bottom of the page. You know what Rashi says? It will kamin dog cotton. Rashi here says it's a fish, the oila achas l'shim rishana, and it surfaces only once in 7 years. Other places Rashi says it's a land creature like a snail. Other places say it's amphibious, part time in the water, part time here. But here Rashi clearly says it's a fish that rises only once every 70 years. And this is also with the Radziner, the Rebbe, who's trying to work out what the chalazin is in the blue tzitzis. Anyway, time for another discussion. If you only make two stitches, it doesn't last. You made it out of the end, so therefore it lasts. If you ripped in order for it to sew, where do you find in the Mishkan that they used to rip things? If let's say you had a curtain, let's say a worm landed on it and made a little puncture. So is koyd above a tovno. So what they would do is they would rip it and make it a longer thing, and then they would sew properly. Otherwise, if they would just sew the little part, it would be a bump and it's not nice. If somebody stretches out this string that you can use to sew, and for example, sometimes you have parts of the you use a string to put a few pieces of material together, and it loosens up, and they're not together. So if you pull the string, so you tighten them, you put them all together as it should be one, and that's the normal way it's fitted. That's how you finish a job. That's number one. And since he heard a few other things from Rav Zutra about Tzvi, he mentioned them as well. If you learn one thing from a Mogesh, and normally we translate throughout Shastra, a Mogesh is a witch. We'll see here that there's a Machlekes, and from here you're supposed to learn the rest of Shastra as well. Chayiv Misa, if you learn things from a witch, you're Chayiv Misa. Number three, Vayedeya L'chashiv Tkufus Mazolus. If you know how to reckon, make the calendar and work out the seasons and all the constellations, Eina Chayshiv, and he doesn't use his talents. He has talents that he can use and help out, and doesn't use it. Is osur l'saper himenu, shouldn't talk about him or to him.
Says the Gemara, let's go through it. Migushosa, what exactly is a mugush? Is Rav Shmuel? Is a machleik? Is chad omar chashi? One of them says it's a witch. V'chad omar gidufe. It's somebody who is a magadif. Somebody who's a min, an eved avodah zarah. And he curses out Hashem and so on. And he seduces or induces other people to serve avodah zarah. Says the Gemara, Testayim, let's conclude that Rav the Omar Gedufe, Rav is the one who says that it's Gedufe, it's Avodah Zarah. Why? Because what did he just say? That if you learn something from a Magosh, you Chai Misa. If it's a witch, why can't you? We know that sometimes you're allowed to learn from a witch, especially if you want to know for Sanhedrin how these things work. These are that the Charosh, we're talking about a witch. It says, you shouldn't learn from them in order to replicate. You're allowed to learn from them to know, understand what the Torah means so you can pass through. And but if it's Avodah Zarah, we can understand. There's no circumstance that you can learn from a person about Avodah Zarah. It's time, good conclusion. So Rav clearly holds, and everyone Shah says, Mogish doesn't mean the witch, it means an Oved Avodah Zarah. Amr Rav Shimon Pazi, Rav Shimon Pazi says, we'll stop here and continue tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem.